And that is Samuel Morse, who developed the Morse code, able to send arbitrary messages across, at first, a single wire using an earth return and then a two-wire 38. Remember the other guys from 1837? He demonstrated the ability to send his code over 2 miles. The other thing about Samuel Morse that's kind of interesting is he was, at least up until he invented this thing, he was better known as a portrait painter than as an electrical physicist. Electricity was his hobby. His actual profession was portrait painting. And, of course, he was starving doing that. This is from the collections of the Smithsonian. This is his first actual receiving equipment for his electrical telegraph. It's a little hard to see exactly what's going on here. You see the counterweight associated with the suspended pencil that's actually the weight is pulling this piece of tape, and as you sent the dots and dashes, rather than hearing it, what would happen is it would cause this marker to send a long, to make a long mark or a short mark on that tape as the tape advanced. This is his early key down here. This key over here is the system that he used several years later in 1844. Morse was a tremendous entrepreneur. He must have had a lot of connections in Washington. He got the United States Congress to underwrite a technology testbed demonstration. For a few $100,000 or something, he sent a couple wires between Baltimore and Washington, D.C., and demonstrated how to send a message across a 100-mile distance using his system and this kind of much more familiar mechanical telegraph key or electromechanical telegraph key. And of course, the first message he sent was, "What hath God wrought?" He then wanted the United States government to underwrite a company that would deploy this technology across the United States. And the Congress came back and said, "No. This is a great thing, but go and get private venture to underwrite the development of this technology across the United States," which Morse and his backers, of course, went out and did, formed the Western Union Company. We're going to hear about those guys in a minute. But that's very interesting because the development of these communication infrastructures in other countries at this time were not like what I just described happened in the U.S. government. They were government-owned in England, in Germany, in many other countries, and still are until the present time when they are slowly but surely being privatized. In the United States, the communication infrastructure was never owned by the U.S. government. Virtually every place else in the world, it's part of the postal system, which evolved into a telegraph system, which evolved into a telephony system. And that has been, it's very interesting to understand how these things have evolved differently in the United States than other places in the world.